Good evening. Welcome to the Salieri Report. Today is November 3rd, 2016. I'm Catherine Alston Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. I'm speaking to you from Zurich. I just interviewed Thomas Meyer, who is the publisher of Perseus Publishing in Basel, on our introduction of Rudolf Steiner that will be running later this month. It was a great interview and really great to be able to spend time with Thomas again, who I finally got to meet when I was in Zurich the last time in the summer. I've come from Germany. I started in Italy and for the workshop on the Pista Sofia in Trento, and then drove with friends through the Alps up to, through Innsbruck, into Lindau, Germany, which is on Lake Constance, and was there for 3 days. And now I've come down to Zurich for a variety of different business meetings. And I'm heading tomorrow to the Netherlands. I'm seeing lots of great people, and it's really great to be in Europe and get some perspective. I've been putting little blog posts or commentaries up on the website, All Saints Day in Lindau, Fall Colors in Trento, Morning in Venice, just so you'll know where I am. We're still working on the Feral crowdfund, and we'll be launching later this month. It's a beautiful website. We just want to get the video done. And then we'll be back around to you, so stay tuned. Good things coming. And then we're also deep on this new website that I keep saying is going to launch shortly, and then we keep working on it. But hopefully we'll really have it at a very impeccable level, so stay tuned. We hope to get that done before the end of the year. And I'm working on the prayer book for our 2017 or this year's Christmas card, but it'll be a prayer book for 2017, same as what we did last year. But we're going to invite subscribers to send in your favorite scripture, and we'll send out an invite. But please feel free, if you hear this, to just send your favorite scriptures to customer service or post, and we'll and it'd be great to consider them when we're looking to build the next one. I hope to have that done by December 1st. Our theme tonight is pay to play becomes trick or treat. Because on Halloween, or right before Halloween, the FBI plopped out an announcement of a new investigation or reopening of investigation into the Clinton emails. And the dribble of information and documentation on the Clintons is now turning into a tsunami. I wrote a commentary, which you can find up at the top of Salieri, called Campaign Whack-A-Mole, to help you understand what's going. If you look at what's been coming out for the last 3 months, there's a definite pattern. And this whack-a-mole works the way a game of chess works, which is you try and systematically take out the lieutenants and scare everyone around, and then go in for the kill shot on, in this case, the queen. And if you look at what's been happening, even though it's coming from a variety of different groups like Project Veritas, Anonymous, and WikiLeaks, of course, in the lead, what you're seeing is different critical people around the Clinton campaign essentially being targeted and taken out. And in the commentary, Campaign Whack-A-Mole, I walk through sort of the different ones. And essentially, my expectation is that this operation, if the current pattern persists, they ought to be able to take a major kill shot towards Clinton before the campaign. And I think what that kill shot is going to be, based on the various links coming from the FBI and NYPD, is what it appears to be. It looks like there's real breaches of national security and classified information. And what we're going to see is a steady drumbeat that says Clinton's not qualified to serve as the commander-in-chief. And anyway, so let's just see what keeps coming. We see another dump of the Podesta emails from WikiLeaks, and an announcement also from WikiLeaks that a major amount of emails, supposedly at the National Archive, is missing. So there's a lot more pouring out. The reality is, it's very interesting being in Europe, because this has really turned into a global campaign and global media event. So wherever I go, people are up to date, fascinated, interested. Trump seems to be a lot more understood and acceptable than he was 6 months ago when I was last here. But I think the reality is that neither candidate is considered to be anywhere close to ideal. And it's very depressing because the whole world depends on the dollar system and is very much entwined with the system and the idea that the system is not under adult supervision and is this corrupt is very depressing for just about everybody that you run into and talk to. Two things can happen, and I think it's very important to understand that it's very unlikely that the election will be over on November 8th. We have two possible outcomes. One is Clinton wins, at which point there's a good chance you're going to have the swarm that's assembled to continue to dump out lots of documentation implicating the Clintons in criminal activities. That swarm is not going to go away. And I think the chance that the Republican House really moves to impeach is going to be very high. Also, if Clinton wins, Trump, I think there's a reasonably good chance Trump will not concede. So it could get very messy for very long. And then, of course, if Trump wins, you're going to see a real establishment panic. I think the issue, if you look at where the polls are now, and from what you can see looking through the polls to what's probably the real information, is I think Trump wins now both in the popular vote and the Electoral College if the voting was clean, which it's not going to be. There's a long tradition of rigging elections. It's gotten much worse since we went to computers. We've seen a real outpouring about the problems with the election season or the mechanics of the elections, including a report this week that one of the corporate media had already prepared the Clinton election or had prepared the reports of how many votes Clinton got and that she'd won and all of this kind of stuff. And you think, how in the world could they do that a week before the election? Anyway, it's very, very important to remember that November 8th is probably not going to be a deciding day. The trench warfare is going to continue for quite some time after. It's the likely thing. The other thing to remember is that it's very important to pay attention to your local elections, because whatever happens in the presidential election, this is not what's going to decide things. In a very centralized system, you know, the president's hands are going to be relatively limited as to what they can do. So pay attention to local elections, because that's where we can have a major, major impact. I've had more than a few subscribers point out to me that they they feel, in the face of what's happening in the election, that it's really challenging to stay sane. And I think during this period, it's very important to, if possible, stay off any equipment that may involve entrainment, because that's clearly pretty hot and heavy. So anything you can do to disconnect during this period is good. It's important to remember that ultimately, in a highly centralized system, that I'm not saying that it won't be important in certain respects who wins the election, but I think, you know, solutions can't come at the centralized system. So I think it's important to remember that, you know, while this is a major media affair in terms of what happens in the government, it may not be as important as it seems. Money and markets. I'm going to work from the Wednesday close. The U.S. dollar is backed off a little bit, so it's now down 1.3%. Big question we talked a lot about in the Rambus overview is the dollar's going back and forth in the channel. Will it break out either way? A little bit of the balloon came out of bonds. The long treasury ETF is now up 11.23% for the year. That's way down from where it was. The intermediate less volatility there, it's up almost 6% for the year, and the bond aggregate now up 4.91, so that's off a tad. And junk up 11.12%, that's the junk ETF. The S&P has come down a little bit, so it's up 4.47% for the year, that's total return. VGK is the European ETF now down 3.8%. Europe had gotten into the black and it's now turned down. Home Builder is now down 8.71%. You can see the vision of what this year was going to be like is truly not working out. Germany, if flat, it's down about a quarter of a percent, but relatively flat. The developed world minus North America is down 0.62%. China up 4.53%, still in the black. That's the large cap. Small caps down 1.28%. Emerging markets still up at almost 14%. Commodities still in the black at 4.55%, although oil has taken quite a nosedive in the last couple of weeks and is now down 12.52% for the year. Gold to silver strengthening and gold up 21.86% for the year, silver 33.13%. If there's one story in the business news, it's mergers. We've had an unprecedented amount of mergers, a half a trillion in M&A. That's the October record. I think it smashed all records. What you're seeing is corporations have cash. They're not making anything on their cash. And if anything, they're looking to buy operating businesses that generate income. That's how they see growth. And so it basically, if anything, it indicates the end of a cycle. But we have a lot of deals. Let me just give you a sense of it. Time Warner and AT&T, big question about whether that's going to go through. CenturyLink and Level 3 Communications, General Electric's oil business is combining with Baker Hughes. That's a big one. Broadcom said it plans to acquire Brocade Communications for $5.5 billion. Other mergers include Qualcomm is buying Netherlands-based NXP Semiconductors. Reynolds American is combining with London's British American Tobacco. And Monsanto, of course, is being acquired by Bayer, as we've talked about before. The Chinese are definitely on a roll. Alibaba's earnings are up significantly. We see the largest real estate billionaire in China now saying he's going to invest in all six Hollywood studios. So China's clearly moving in. Ang Lee, one of my favorite directors from Taiwan, predicts the China box office is going to dwarf Hollywood. And so what you're watching is simply, if you look at the numbers that we have been presenting on the wrap-up, what you can see is the GNP and internet connects and everything else. China's just growing gangbusters. And at some point, the numbers overwhelm the sort of lead of the Americans. And so this is all part of the shift to a multipolar world. I'm laughing my head off. The New York Times reports their earnings down 96% for their quarterly profit. They basically eke through with a barely having any profit. And what's interesting is since I've been in Europe, every morning there's a slimmed down version of the New York Times, an international version at breakfast in all the hotels. And I never read the New York Times. I occasionally post links that people send in, but it's not one of the papers that I check regularly. And I've just been astonished at, maybe it's Tom Friedman's column, but they are living in a bubble. So it's nice to see that's reflected in their earnings, because Lord knows they need a wake-up call. And Michael Moore said that if Trump was elected, it would be the biggest fuck you in recorded history. Pardon my French. And boy, they need it. Unbelievable. A couple of commentaries I wanted to point out to you on the website. Dennis Kucinich wrote a very good piece called "Why is the Foreign Policy Establishment Spoiling for More War? Look at their donors." And I published it up at Solari, and I recommend it to you. He was a remarkable congressman, and so it's a piece worth reading. And then one of the subscribers went to a Trump rally and sent me a report, so I posted that. I thought it was interesting. Our hero this week is a real popsicle index kind of guy. His name is Billy Muir, and you can read about him. There's a story from the BBC Up at Life on the website. He's one of those guys who runs the whole island in Scotland. He runs the lighthouse. He's got a construction company. He's a volunteer fireman, and on and on and on. Incredible guy, but it's just the kind of person who I think deserves our attention and credit, and that's why I keep saying pay attention to your local elections, get involved locally, because if we all just turn to the guys like Billy Muir and said, what can I do to help, it's amazing what a difference it would make. Let's go to the movies. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Borgen, which is a Danish TV series that's a real sensation. I reviewed it on the website about 6 weeks ago, but I finished watching all three seasons. It ran for three seasons. That's it. There's no more. And I really want more. It's about a talented young politician who becomes, as a result of a bit of a fluke, the first woman prime minister of Denmark. And it really gives you a remarkable feeling of the challenges of trying to lead in this kind of atmosphere, and what it takes to build a consensus and get things done. There's an expression in the musical Hamilton, a song that says, I want to be in the room where it happens. And watching Borgen, you really get a very good feeling on what it's like to be inside the sausage factory. So you really do get that feeling of being in the room where it happens. And it's marvelously done. Good acting, good storyline, great plot. So I recommend it to you. You can get it on Netflix or at Amazon or all the usual suspects. So it's also available at the iTunes store. So Borgen, Danish TV sensation. Our interview tonight is a very important one, and I rarely say this, but this is one you have to listen to. It was so good, I got Jason Bodden-Smith, who I interviewed, to make a PowerPoint, and we put the PowerPoint up with the audio. So you can listen to the audio, but you can also watch the video with the PowerPoint. And I think that's important. There's a lot of technical information. And frankly, the best way to deal with this topic is to get Jason's book, In the Dark. It's available now. Because he really focuses on practical things that you and I can do to protect ourselves from EMF radiation. Jason believes this is going to be much worse than tobacco, much worse than asbestos. This is a real environmental hazard, and it's about to get much worse with 5G. So this is something we need to understand, know about, be able to deal with, and there's a lot of practical steps you can take to protect yourself from EMF radiation. But first, you need to understand what it is, how it operates. And Jason is an environmental scientist and has had a very successful career as an environmental consultant and built a business doing it. And I trust him both on the science side as well as on the practical nuts and bolts of what it's like to live in the real world and not want to be separated completely from technology. So this is something he's worked very hard on, and I think it really very much serves what you and I need. Anyway, EMF radiation, please take it very seriously. Make some time this year to really understand this, what it means to you and your family, and some of the practical things you can do to protect yourself. Okay, ask Catherine. Boy, do we have a lot of questions, so I'm going to tear through them. First of all, thank you for the links. Lots of people sent links with comments, and I'm not going to repeat those. Hi, Catherine. I was first made aware of this YouTuber when you posted the snowboarding with the NYPD video last winter. Over 15 million views on that one. I began to watch some of his videos periodically. I liked his visuals. I began to feel like they became one corporate sponsorship. I feel like they became one corporate sponsorship after another. They did. Then the guy repeatedly said he was non-political, makes a video bashing Trump and saying Clinton is mentally sound. Seems like he's a paid shill and ignited a backlash of videos calling him out and exposing the fact that the Clinton campaign was courting social media celebs. And we've seen a lot of that. There's real pressure on the celebrities to do things, particularly from people like the Clintons. And it's very interesting because Susan Sarandon just came out for Jill Stein, which was an amazingly courageous thing for someone like her to do. But you've seen a lot of very strange endorsements from celebrities, and you almost get the feeling listening to them that they've been either bought off or blackmailed. It's very, very interesting. Dear Catherine, forgive me for the link. Questions are towards the bottom. Back in the spring, I splurged and used a portion of my tax refund to buy a year-long subscription to the Salary Report. It has been worth every penny, and I haven't gotten to all the goodies in the archives and subscriber resources. I live in Chicago and will be voting for Gary Johnson for the second time. Clinton will win Illinois anyway. This is my third presidential election as an eligible voter. My only regret is I didn't vote for Cynthia McKinney in 2008, but I lived in Ohio and succumbed to the suspense of a close race there and voted for Obama. I have trouble sleeping at night voting for Clinton or Trump, knowing somebody with more integrity was on the ballot. Four really rough years ahead either way. I'll leave it at that. I've looked into my local elections. Then they go into the local elections. I'm not going to read this all. It'll be in the notes. I have two questions. One is, Target and Whole Foods have gone into some of the most blighted areas here in Chicago, albeit with financial incentives from the city's TIF funds, and played a part in breathing new life into them. Growing up in Ohio's Rust Belt, I saw plenty of retail developments full of big box stores pop up that seemed less than economic, all in the name of jobs and growth, like Walmart closing one store and opening up right down the street just because they could get public money to do it. Luckily, Walmart has closed most Chicago locations. However, I've read that this approach is only useful in the most blighted urban areas. What is your opinion? Generally, what I find is Whole Foods raises real estate values wherever they put a store in. So, and of course, anything that improves the quality of food does breathe new life. I've never studied what happens when Target goes in. If an area is particularly blighted, I suppose any activity is good. I still prefer equity investment for small business, and I hate to see equity investment not circulating and accessible at the same time you're bringing in big box stores. So that's my one caveat, but I think in any situation you have to work with what you can do, and all activity is good. So it really gets pretty granular very quickly. Second question is, PBS recently aired American Empire based upon a book by Elizabeth Cobbs Hoffman. While I think there's plenty of whitewashing in it, they point out the price we pay here at home for being the global superpower. To his credit, Trump brought this up at the debate. They note more eloquently than Trump does that Europe's GNP is equal to ours, yet many of the countries spend 2% or even less than 1% of their GNP on defense, while we spend 4% GNP and pay the lion's share of NATO, among other things. Meanwhile, their social programs and infrastructure make us look like the third world. Students here go into debt to go to college. Is this just a distraction given the $50 trillion in missing money, not to mention DOD's many missing trains and undocumentable adjustments? Or should we charge Europe for security to close our budget deficit or pay the veterans' needs and other priorities? I think if you did the numbers, if we had the real numbers, that it works to our advantage net-net to be the world reserve currency. I think the reason we're getting drained is because we're sending enormous amounts of money down the black budget in this hidden financial system and the related corruption. So I think it's that is causing the bigger problem in the U.S. rather than, because I think reserve currency net-net works to our advantage. Did you ever see Elysium? It's a 2013 dystopian science fiction film about Earth in 2159. The planet is uninhabitable due to overpopulation, mismanagement, climate change, etc. The rich elite now live in Elysium, a space habitat in Earth's orbit. The female empowerment factor seems to be at play in Jodie Foster's role as defense secretary. She echoes Hillary Clinton with her cheek pantsuits, hawkish instincts, and willingness to break the law to protect Elysium and enhance her political prospects. Maybe this is an option for them down the road. I have seen the movie. It does a good job of showing the sort of indifference and the consideration of the majority of people as quote unquote deplorables. So it absolutely does sort of show that modus operandi. Hi, Catherine. My question is, over the next year, what do you consider the best investment? Real estate, mining stocks, or gold, silver, bullion, and why? I have no idea, and no one else does either. Anybody who predicts what's going to do well in this environment is, no one knows. And I think it's very important to approach your investment on the assumption that anything could happen. I've never been in a situation where things are more fluid. First of all, real estate is local. So when you say real estate breaks down into many different kinds of real estate, both by place and asset category. So be careful there, because some could be going gangbusters and other could be doing dreadfully. This week, real estate is doing dreadfully because as interest rates rise, real estate has done really well because it's producing dividends. It's one of the dividend payers, and so this week real estate is getting clocked. Then precious metals are subject to a wide variety of forces. What I do believe, if you go back and listen to the Rambus interviews, is that if the bull reasserts, that the mining stocks should outperform bullion. But I would refer you to that Rambus piece. I thought it was very good. Somebody sent a link on income taxes and excise tax. Boy, do I feel duped. I would have most of my wealth if it had not been federated with the United States Corporation. I think I keep saying this, taxes are going to be a big issue next year, because now that we've watched this particular campaign and we're coming into the changes that are needed in the federal budget, a lot of people are going to start saying, well, why should I pay taxes? I think taxes are going to become a bigger and bigger issue. Dear Catherine, I just reported a Visa card stolen because a charge came through from the United Kingdom. I've never been there. And just 1 week ago, I reported a different Visa stolen because of a charge out of Greece. I've never been there either. Can we in the United States expect more stolen card numbers from desperate people in Europe? Are companies doing enough to guard their customers' credit card info? My fraud charge today was from Hertz Car Rental in the United Kingdom. I used to rent from Hertz frequently in the United States. Sounds like a Hertz hack. I deal with this a lot. We've had to deal with lots of, we check our credit cards every day at Solari, and we've had to cancel a lot over the last 5 years. This is a serious problem, and I expect it to grow. It's really critical to catch. We used to see somebody try and fraudulently charge us with 10 cents or a dollar. And if you didn't nail it right away and change it, then suddenly they were doing bigger numbers. But yes, it comes in from abroad, but don't assume that it's desperate people in Europe. It could easily be a U.S. operation. So just be careful to assume. And I assure you, from spending a lot of time in Europe, there are a lot less desperate people in Europe than there are in America. It's very interesting because I drove out to California and back for about 2 months, and then was in Tennessee for about 2 weeks, and then came to Europe. And the quality of life in Europe and the safety in Europe is so much higher. It's quite astonishing to compare the two. But I would think that the credit card problem is going to grow. In my experience, the credit card companies are very, very careful about this, but they're dealing with significant organized crime operations. The other thing I've seen is it's not just organized crime. You'll see companies pumping their earnings by throwing on fraudulent charges and then taking them off if they get caught. There are certain companies that I sort of have on the list to not deal with because I think they basically run through a lot of fraudulent charges, and you have to be unbelievably diligent. So they're companies I try to avoid. A little Friday humor, sort of among the craziness. P.S. I must say that there's some force that is just indefinable, but it seems the crazier it gets, the more that which always is unfolds. St. Francis of Assisi has a lovely way of expressing it. What looking is, what you're looking for. Oh, and great interviews this week. Thank you. Dear Catherine, have you interviewed Rosa Quar yet? Yes, we did an interview last year on Agenda 21, and that's in the archives. You can find that. Was thrilled to catch your interview with dark journalist on Trump. Also learned about more dastardly acts of greed and inhumanity by the Clintons, worse than the mafia because they pretend they're such do-gooders while the mafia didn't bother with that. Thanks for all your brave and hard work. Keeping you in my prayers always. Good evening, Catherine. I listened to your interview on USA Watchdog today. It was quite disconcerting. I'm a Bible-believing Christian and all that entails, so I've spent my whole life being watchful for the development of the mark of the beast, which some believe will be microchipping. As I listened to you referring to microchipping as turning humankind into livestock, I was taken aback. I'd never thought of it that way before, but you were so right. You ended the interview stating this progression towards microchipping is more important than the election. I agree. But I have one question. If Trump should be elected, would it slow down the march toward microchipping? Or would it matter not at all? Bible is truth. The day is coming when the mark shall be here. This is more important than the election, but how does the election play into the scenario? No, my feeling is there's no way to tell. Clinton's a known quantity, Trump's a wild card. I think my guess is that Trump slows it down. The forces that want microchipping are way bigger than the presidency, so but my guess is that Trump slows it down. And interestingly enough, if you look at who Pence is and what he believes, I think that slows it down as well. Hope you're enjoying your trip. Question one, got anything to share about Pence and Kane? Question two, can you give a short overview of what it takes to of what takes place when a new administration comes into office, maybe from your experiences with Bush Sr.? The first thing that happens is the whole world starts competing for the different slots. So you have about 1,000 people that need to be chosen, and for everyone that's chosen, there's 999 that get turned down. So you have a real remarkable process of people jockeying for position and trying to get into all the cabinet and sub-cabinet slots. Then there's a big major push to set your agenda, and to get that agenda sort of integrated into all the new teams and all the agencies. And finally, what you're faced with is creating a budget, and the budget is going to be a real issue because we've been kicking the can for many years, and now we're going to have to stop kicking the can. Interestingly enough, if Trump comes in, he's someone who is very comfortable working with numbers and budgets, and he's going to be very interested in engineering growth. Now, what happens is all good administrations come in and prepared to deal with staffing, agenda, and budget, and they get overwhelmed by crisis. So part of the question of how good the new team is going to be is how well they handle crisis and not let themselves get talked into just responding to crises, but setting the agenda. Hi, Catherine. Have you followed the story of Kathleen Kane, the Pennsylvania Attorney General, who's recently convicted of perjury? Is this a political prosecution? Did she get too close to exposing a pedophilia network involving rich and powerful people in Pennsylvania? Thank you. I don't know. There's clearly a story here, but I don't know how to figure what it is without spending a huge amount of time, which I don't think is going to be, I don't think that serves the subscribers. Okay, dear Catherine, I just called, got off the tube, having watched a recent episode of Code Black, which was followed by an infomercial presented by members of the cast decked out in their medical garb. Message, look for these Stop the Bleed kits, which we will put out in public places around the country. Please see the following site for information on how to use these kits. These kits are packaged in bright red canvas 10-inch square containers and look to be put up on walls, much like fire alarms. So it looks to me like we're being set up to receive physical harm to our bodies. Thank you for your recent interview with Greg Hunter. I mailed in my ballot today and ended up voting for Trump. I agree he is a much-needed Molotov cocktail aimed at D.C. and all that the place has come to represent. Interestingly enough, the expression Molotov or Donald Trump as Molotov cocktail came from Michael Moore, and I used it, a variety of different people used it, and then Trump took a Moore speech and used it as an ad, which ended up having the unintended consequence of really promoting Trump. That's not what Moore intended. He gave a very impassioned endorsement for Clinton. But anyway, this expression of a Molotov cocktail came from Michael Moore, and I think has really caught on. And I think of it as really a way, when a system has a negative return on investment and is harming human productivity, and you've tried to reform it and you can't, you throw a Molotov cocktail. And I think it's a very appropriate description of what is happening in terms of support for Trump's candidacy. Next question. You posted on the site on September 30, 2015, that back in June 2015, that you withdrew your recommendation of gold money as an option for storing precious metals. In July 2016, Gold Money announced it acquired Shift Gold Inc. Do you recommend Shift Gold Inc.? I've never done due diligence on Shift Gold now that they're a part of Gold Money. I'm assuming it's the governance structure of Gold Money, and so I would say they fit in the same basket with Gold Money. Okay, hello, Catherine. Although Canadian, I've been following the American election closely, as the results will affect us all. Recently, I came across a clip of an audio found on the following link. Sources convinced that Trump will win the popular vote landslide, but he will not win the Electoral College. Could you please explain how the Electoral College works in the USA? I find it very confusing. There's a very detailed explanation of the US Electoral College at Wikipedia, so I would recommend that you read that. Essentially, in the presidential election, a US voter does not vote for the president, they vote for an elector who the electors are chosen to represent certain candidates. So you end up voting for the elector who represents the candidate that you're voting for. And if you look at how the system works, the votes are apportioned. Elector has votes apportioned according to how many congressmen a state has, so congressional districts. So you end up with 538 electors. So that's it corresponds to 435 congressional representatives and 100 senators plus 3 additional electors for the District of Columbia. In most states, it's winner take all. So if someone gets the popular vote in that state, then you get 100% of the electors where it's winner take all. And that's why you can get a situation where one candidate wins the popular votes, but they lose the Electoral College. My understanding is that that report about Soros saying, you know, that it was rigged through the Electoral College didn't happen. So if I'm wrong about that, send me the link and I'll check it. But I think the real concern is not the Electoral College. I think the real concern is rigged software and voting machines, which I think is a very serious problem. Dear Catherine, my neighbor told me that she was having car trouble because the squirrels were chewing on wires that were coated with soy. I had no idea that soy is used in non-food products. The economic connection must be significant for soybean producers. Also, I just bought a Chevy Spark from Enterprise Car Rental. I bought their pricey special warranty because it will cover wide-ranging electrical system failures, and I'm convinced that these newer electrical systems are riddled with shoddy workmanship. Wait a minute. At least I'm covered if the worst happens. Recently, the appliance store lady told me that many new washing machines are having a lot of electrical system failings, which is expensive to repair. Interestingly enough, I live in a town with a wonderful appliance repairman, and he keeps persuading me not to buy new appliances. I have several appliances which are literally 30 to 40 years old, and they work like a charm. They look very old and I would say not fashionable, but he keeps insisting that I not sell them because all the new ones have digital systems and are much less reliable and harder to maintain. And then there's also the surveillance issue with a smart meter. So He keeps persuading me to keep my 30 to 40 year old appliances, and I'm seeing that terrible quality issues in the new stuff. And then the person continues, "In this economy, it's not always about making money, but saving money." Amen to that. Catherine, amazing prayers answered, and this person sent the link on the Bundy acquittal. These are the ranchers who had the standoff in Oregon. I've covered it a fair amount because one of them was, I believe, assassinated. Anyway, but it's tremendous news, and it shows you that sometimes the process can work. It was a jury trial, and God bless that jury. The Bundy legal struggles are not over, so this is just a step. Keep praying for them. Howdy do, Catherine. I'm not sure if you've already pre-recorded this interview, but I was super excited when you first posted the interview announcement. He's referring to Jason's tonight. Thank you. Is there any capacity for further questions, inquiry? I would love to know the answers to some of these questions. What is the most tenable cost versus benefit to shield from radio microwave smog for folks living in the typical suburban neighborhood? Smart meter, Wi-Fi, and WiMAX, which is coming into deployment rapidly in my home. There are three other Wi-Fi channels of neighbors. They're even stronger than my own Wi-Fi. Using radiopaque materials, metal screens, and closures to shroud smart meters. Does an open closure, not perfectly sealed, mitigate some of the line of sight signal? Would love to know more about these topics. Sadly, don't have much time to read right now, but I will check out the guest book. Thanks so much for this topic. Here's my recommendation. Read the interview. You should really watch the video with the PowerPoint. And I would get the book because Jason really tries to come up with very specific action items that we can all take. So I would check out the video, then I would check out the book, and then I would send questions after you've read that as to what are still open issues for you. Dear friends, last week something new appeared for sale in Costco here in Kirkland, Washington, a suburb of Seattle. Two sizes of emergency food containers. One is a 3-day supply, the other is a 5-day supply. Put out by the Red Cross. Thought you would like to know. I do. I appreciate knowing that. I've asked other Costco shoppers to report back, but as yet hadn't heard anybody reporting the same where they are. This may be old news to you, but just to send you the screenshot to you about Aerojet. It's describing one of the space companies and the extent to which they're involved in depleted uranium and some other interesting activities, but also in real estate. And they said, "I flashed immediately to your info about defense contractors and HUD. Thank you for giving me the knowledge to understand why this company would be involved in real estate." Anyway, I've added the depleted uranium description to our space company description. We continue to update that list and hope to have a new list of global publicly traded companies involved in space for you by our annual wrap-up. Okay. Catherine, further to listening to your most recent interview with Saker, in the last 5 minutes of your talk, you touched upon the reason why Britain decided to Brexit was due to a deal with China. Said that was one of the reasons. I didn't think that was the only reason, but I think that was one of the reasons. Can you please send me any links to articles or even books why you think this premise? What you should do is check out the footage and coverage of the visit of Xi Jinping to Britain. He was in the United States and Britain, but I would check out, sort of the footage, look at some of there was a state dinner and various meetings. So I would check all of that coverage because that was that sort of watching the behavior in that whole sequence of events is what persuaded me something deeper was going on. Dear Catherine, having seen how things are coming down these past few weeks and retracting all the suspicious and negative things that I previously said about Julian Assange, so you might really be the real deal. Whoever is supporting him financially, if any, must really want to break up this huge den of corruption in the democratic machine for whatever reason. And as you've said, the powers that be are running scared and credulous of what's really happening as their facade crumbles for all the world to see. I would note that Assange pointed out that wherever the leaks were coming from, they weren't coming from the Russians. He did that today. I think it's pretty clear they're coming from groups funded inside the Beltway. I think it's the American intelligence networks that are doing this. Question is, what happens to Trump when Trump becomes president remains unknown. Is he also the real deal who the powers that be will try to take down by any means necessary? We don't know. What's going to happen is he will gather a different group of people in the establishment. What happens will be very much driven by the people he has around them. He's going to get, if he wins the election, he's going to get briefings with lots of new information he doesn't have now, and that information is going to change him. He's also going to get read the Riot Act by a variety of parties and is going to feel a lot of the limitations on him. And so, whether it's getting read the Riot Act, the new information he gets, the difficulty of being responsible for all the things you're responsible with the president, who knows which way things come out? A lot of it's going to depend on the quality of the people he gets around him, including experience of those. And I've always said Trump is a wild card, so this could fall many different ways. There's no way to tell. Can you please comment on the new Department of Labor fiduciary rule? Do you think this has anything to do with government trying to grab the trillions in individual retirement accounts, i.e., government annuities? How do you think this will affect your financial advisory business? I'm still looking at it. The final regs go into effect in April 2017, so and with an obligation for financial institutions to have complete compliance by 2018. So, as a practical matter, this really doesn't probably kick in for me until 2018. So, nothing is happening. There's a new FAQ issued, and I'm having my attorney look at that. And I think that may be why it made the news recently. I do think the pile on of more and more rules, more and more regulations, more and more obligations is part of the push to move money for passive investment. So you're diminishing the control and the contribution of individual managers in all different kinds of capacities, and it makes it harder and more expensive for individuals to be involved and to advise. So I literally think you're watching in this area sort of a competition between AI and individuals, and part of it is just trying to squeeze the transaction costs into very little. And the advantage is lower transaction costs. The disadvantage is, a lot fewer people to protect people's money from a system which is really organized crime. Madam Catherine, High Priestess of Truth, Warrior for Popsicle Indices. The only good thing about evil is that it never knows when to quit and eventually self-destruct. We are watching this as we speak. We know the bad guy's plans. We know the world cannot exist much further in its present configuration either way. We know that unavoidable change is upon us. So what would be the good guy plan? Should we survive the destruction of evil, what might a configuration be? The common Trump-following Republican might see a return to pre-collapse American mom and apple pie. The survivalists might see post-apocalyptic movie sets. The Silurian vision may investor may envision Earth 2 with bots and over-unity power systems. What comes from the High Priestess mind? Global population growth, sustainability, financial political reconfiguration, a repeated master cycle, the second coming. What I've said many times is what we're dealing with is a spiritual battle, and this requires a shift in consciousness, including individuals taking responsibility to practice do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Literally, we need a global culture that is prepared to practice that individually and collectively. So I see this first and foremost as being a spiritual revolution. But I've written and talked about hundreds of thousands of pages of stuff responding in detail to just this kind of question. And I don't know of any way to condense it down into 3 minutes for answering that question. So I would encourage you to read all of the Solarian reports. Hello, Catherine. Where may I find more general and sales info on the quantum resonance system, QRS? If you, I did a little commentary on QRS and put a link to the people who sell them. They have a book which describes some information about the QRS system. It's expensive, but it's available if you want it. So there's some information. The fact of the matter is, I learned about the QRS by somebody gave me one, and so I got to use it, and I got happy with it before I had to go buy a new one. And I don't know, they may have leasing deals. I'm not sure where they are on that now, but if there's a way you can try one before you buy it, because it is expensive. Hello, Catherine. Hope all is well with you. Here are my questions, if you have time. Have you heard about this? Steve, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, Pizenzik, a PIECZENIK, stated that a coup is in process, feeling very confused about the information. What he describes is a group of people in the intelligence enforcement community deciding to basically take the Clintons down by dribbling out information and documentation on them that'll basically destroy them. That certainly fits with what is happening and what I describe in Campaign Whack-A-Mole. So what he's describing certainly does fit with what's happening. Now, the question is, are they building up to a kill shot and will they take it? And if the answer is yeah, they build up to a kill shot and take it, then what he's describing is in fact happening. But he is also describing the fact that simply dishing out the documentation can destroy the Clintons, which I believe is true. Anyway, so I don't know him, but he does make sense and it fits with the patterns of what's happening, so it could easily be true. Then this person asks, still wondering about an incident where two children were murdered in their home. Their father was a banker. No, I think you're thinking of their father was a CNBC executive. And I know a little bit about the story, but I really don't know the deeper story of what really happened. Dear Catherine, I've heard you often on Coast to Coast AM. I was perusing the Sillery site after reading the next chapter in Lawrence Gardner's book, The Magdalene Legacy. Paul Simon was playing on my CD player. As George says, no coincidences, you had me at Pista Sofia. What she's referring to is we had Paul Simon as the music last Friday. So the Pistis was there and Paul Simon was there, I guess, at the same time. I'm hoping you will keep me sane for the next 30 days. I was unsure if I was going to vote. It is an election against, not for a candidate. However, your stated choice gave me some backbone. Well, that's good to hear. This one is tough because, as I've always said, the hard thing about voting for Trump, I've said it a million times, the presidency of the United States is not an entry-level position. So voting for someone who has no government experience for president is very hard to do. Dear Catherine, I recently came across the following clip. It certainly appears possible from my limited knowledge. If this is true, we need not wonder why Hillary Clinton is so sure she will win the election. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the cat got out of the bag and the black community was vindicated via Bennie Smith for all the crimes committed against them? And then they have a link to a report on by Bev Harris from Black Box Voting about the corruption of the software in the voting system. I've watched that one, and I have to tell you, my experience, Bev Harris is very credible. So, anything Bev Harris publishes, I take very seriously. So, I think it's probably true. Dear Catherine, just wanted to share with you, if you haven't seen it yet, this hilarious spot-on parody Twitter account that supports Hillary Clinton. Every tweet sends me into gales of laughter. But a fellow who wishes to remain anonymous, but sure is clever. Yes, it's very funny. It's very funny. Hope you're enjoying your visit in Europe. It's still very safe despite false flag attempts by the powers that be to create terror and fear in people. Be safe and God bless you. Then someone said, do you know of Ned Ball and his American Refugee Committee, or could you direct me to a place where I can find further information to make a determination? I spent about 15 minutes on the website and couldn't, I didn't see enough information to push me one way or the other. I really don't know. I did check with somebody who does know a lot about NGOs and soft revolution. They had a negative read, but I don't think it was a complete underwriting. So I don't know what to tell you. What I want is somebody with a fair knowledge. I probably want somebody who was in the intelligence communities or ex-intelligence, but I don't know somebody who's qualified to give a beat on that one. Hi, I'm a subscriber and I have a portfolio that's diversified, and then they go on and essentially ask a question about the SDR bonds. SDR, the special drawing rights, which is an IMF currency basket. Basically, all of this is about how fast the world will transition away from the dollar. I think the dollar is the world's still very deeply dependent on the dollar system, and the SDR has a long way to go to handle the volume. So I think this is going to be a not an immediate issue. Okay, closing. Next week, November 10th, scenario thinking with Eric Best. Scenario planning, scenario thinking is a very powerful tool for dealing with uncertainty. And I want to get the Solari Network out of trying to predict the future and into scenario thinking and working with probabilities and possibilities so that we get out of trying to predict and into inventing and being very nimble about being able to anticipate and respond to lots of different potential scenarios, because the situation is so fluid, uncertainty is so great, things can go many different directions. November 17th, Rappaport joins me for, oh, this is going to be good. The election is over. Now what? And then November 24th, our introduction to Rudolf Steiner with Thomas Meyer, marvelous publisher of Perseus Publishing here in Switzerland. And this is an introduction. We've been doing biodynamic farming in the food series, and Steiner's name keeps coming up, and so I thought it would be a good time to sit back and give you a general introduction of Rudolf Steiner. Fascinating person who's has a tremendous impact on our world, whether it's biodynamic farming or Waldorf schools or related medicine and sort of natural medicine. So that's it until November 10th with Eric Best on scenario thinking. Please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.